5 minutes after 11 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in. In the past few weeks, when we've had a visit from the folks over at the Refuge, we've learned quite a bit about what can be done. You know, a lot of times when we have psychological or substance abuse issues, it almost feels like hopeless. Whether you're the person going through it or a family member, a lot of times it's one of those, what do? You throw your hands up, but what do? You know, and unfortunately, sometimes people end it for themselves, and it's not what we want. So this segment is called Recovery Talk, because there is the possibility that you can be recovered. There's the great probability that you can recover. Carrie Bone has been with us before. She is an outreach representative for the Refuge, and you work with all kinds of people that have PTSD and substance abuse issues, et cetera. So good to see you again, Carrie. You look beautiful.
To see you. Good morning.
You know that you know the camera's there. But you look beautiful last time, too. I don't know. It's the way women are, I guess. And Brandy Harris is here. We're meeting Brandy for the first time. And you are a therapist for the Refuge, and you also handle all kinds of different things, I'm guessing. You're going to help us fill in the blanks here. In addition to the phone number we're going to give out so that people can call you, do you want to have open line right now for callers?
Sure.
Okay, so if in the course of this interview you want to call in, feel free to do so. The number is WOCA's Climate Control Source Hotline, which is 622-9622. And in addition to substance abuse, we're going to talk about depression and anxiety today. So good morning, Brandy, and good morning, Carrie.
Good morning.
So do they go hand in hand? Does substance abuse bring on depression?
I think definitely. You know, we call that a co-occurring issue, which is we work a lot with that at the outpatient clinic where I am. And, you know, when individuals are struggling with substance abuse, a lot of times it's self-medicating. There is a issue with depression, anxiety going on anyway. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of times when people are using substances, there's a lot of loss that goes along with that in their life. And then they develop depression, anxiety as well. So they really, it's interchange. I mean, they do go hand in hand, definitely.
And does it snowball? One thing lead to the other, which leads to the other back again?
Yeah, there's definitely an escalation there. There's definitely the snowball effect. There's definitely, they call them in the program yets, where it's things that are yet to happen because, oh, I'm not doing this yet, I'm not doing that yet. And then before they know it, things have escalated and they're doing things they, you know, either substances or isolating in ways they had never done before. It just increasingly gets worse.
When we say substances, I'm thinking like alcohol. But could it be something like cake?
Definitely.
Is that a substance that's abused?
It's, you know, we
is that
call
a silly question?
Not at all. No? Process addictions is really, and we look at that too, which is something that's very special about the Refuge, where we look at those process addictions, and those could be gambling, eating, sex, spending money, those type of things as well will go along with that.
So in the context of today's conversation, somebody's bummed out. They're feeling sad. They turn to a substance, whether it's alcohol or one of the other things you mentioned, because it makes them, they go gambling. They feel good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's not good. Or is it good? I mean, is there a point where it's okay?
You know, when we look at things like disorders or something that's diagnosable, there's a point, I think, every person's life where you go through certain things, or you're having a day where I'm going to go shopping today, and that's not necessarily, you don't need treatment for that.
Right,
however,
if
it's affecting your daily functioning, it's affecting your relationships, your job, things are starting to get out of control, you're in debt, you're hiding things, there's secrecy going on, things like that, then that's when it becomes an issue that people need to seek help for.
Start to hide it, or can't pay your bills anymore. You see, it's costing you too much, right?
Definitely.
And anxiety, how do we define anxiety?
Anxiety is really, it's a hindrance, a paralyzation almost for people to experience life. A lot of times, and it's different for individuals. We really look at people on an individual basis too. So sometimes anxiety will come out and exhibit itself in different ways. But in a general sense, it brings on almost a paralyzation where people want to isolate. They can't maybe go into a social situation. They don't want to reach out to people they usually talk to. And they really kind of are, just in on themselves and not really reaching out to anybody.
Oh, that is interesting. I just had a flashback of when I was like in my teens. I was old enough to drive. I was up in New York, and there was a lady I knew. Once in a while, would call me and ask me to drive her someplace. Okay, so to get to where she wanted, we had to go past the railroad tracks. Well, there was a place where you drove on the tracks, and there was another elevated place where you drove under the tracks, which was farther away. She would always have me drive to the far. She didn't want to drive over the tracks.
Wow.
She was absolutely petrified to go over the tracks. Would that be an example of that?
Yeah, definitely. That's why anxiety does manifest in different ways.
I used to think this is the craziest thing. We got to go 3 miles to go 3 blocks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Something that she was a fear. It could have something happened maybe previously in her life, or just a fear of hers that.
And you could handle, that's probably a bad example, but that kind of thing can be handled in an outpatient?
Oh, definitely. Through group therapy and individual therapy. You find that people have so much more in common than they are different. And a lot of these experiences and feelings they share, and that is very helpful as well to the individuals seeking help.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Carrie, should the individuals that are there on an outpatient basis, should they share that with their coworkers and their jobs? Because you've got people from hourly rates to attorneys and doctors, things like that.
Can you clarify the question again?
Well, because sometimes if people would share something that they're going through that appears to be bad to others, and then if they would share that with their care workers, letting them know they're getting help, sometimes that might impede them in their job. Their coworkers might not want them around.
Good question. Thank you. I think it's vital when you're seeking treatment to have a very strong support system. Sometimes we will refer to it as a safety net. Is that going to be your coworkers? Probably not.
Mm.
Unless there's really a special individual that you have that close relationship to. Again, our program is a 12-step based program. There are 12-step groups for other addictions besides alcohol, or NA, which is Narcotics Anonymous. And there's help for people that shop or gamble. And we really support and emphasize a 12-step program so people can have that human contact with others that can empathize and that are going through similar things.
But they should keep it secret then from their coworkers.
It's going to depend on the individual.
Individual. Mm-hmm. Some workplaces have like EAP program, and they can go to an HR person and get that support there, and then have like a medical leave where they can feel safe that their job is there, but they don't have to let everyone know perhaps what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so they can find that balance. But it is important to have support too. So, and the whole thing is letting these secrets out and getting the help. So you just want to be able to set boundaries and, you know, make sure you're careful about just keeping yourself safe as well.
It's important to navigate that. Mm-hmm. And that's what our group therapy and individual therapy will help the individual with. I mean, they will be able to share, you know, their life and, mm-hmm. you know, is it appropriate to take it to the workplace and share it? And like, you know, Brandy just said too, with the EAP programs, you know, there are safe human resources, there's safe people to share that with.
Mm-hmm. And that does come in group all the time. People
does
get
it really?
Nervous about going back to work or what to say, and we can guide them.
Oh, really? And you know, you have a different type of a radio show, because I know that a lot of the listeners, I mean, last week we had a wonderful caller who was, I thought, brave to bring up something that sounded like his personal issue with alcohol. That was hugely brave. But I'm guessing a lot of our other listeners would prefer not to be on the radio for fear that somebody would recognize their voice.
Yeah.
So before we take the first break, can we give out the phone number that they can call where it would be more confidential than a radio show? And because we want to give out the information, and you know what we should have done? I wish we had thought of this earlier, set up a text way so we wouldn't hear. We could just read the things. I don't even know if I could do that on the fly here. But anyway, what is the phone number that they can call at the refuge?
The phone number they can call is area code 352-877-2000. 2384.
Okay. We'll be right back. We need to take a little break, and we'll continue our discussion about anxiety and depression when we come back. This is WOCA.
The weather is brought to you by MyFWC.com. Safe boating has no accident. Partly sunny skies today with some drenching showers and thunderstorms, mainly this afternoon, high 91 to 93. There'll be a thunderstorm this evening, otherwise partly cloudy skies tonight, low 73 to 76. And times of sunny clouds tomorrow, with a thunderstorm possible in the morning, followed by a couple of thunderstorms around tomorrow afternoon, high 91 to 93. From the Florida Weather Center, I'm Stephanie Omo.
Stay informed on everything going on in the villages with the Village Spectator newspaper. The Village Spectator is exclusively devoted to the villages with news, commentary, and more. And yes, they have Tom's Picks, a free referral for people who are looking for a company to do work for them. Tom's Picks will refer the company that fits your needs, and all we ask is that you tell them where you heard about them. Call Tom's Picks at 804-1223 and pick up your copy of the Village Spectator today.
Now read Ocala Downtown Newspaper online.
Sign up for this year's Marion County Heart Walk and be part of a local movement that's helping others live longer, healthier lives. Join me, Corey Poole, your 2014 Marion County Heart Walk Chairman, and walk with me on Saturday, October the 4th at the Baseline Road Trailhead. It's a free event promoting physical activity and heart-healthy living. To find out how you can help fight the number one killer of all Americans, visit us online at marionheartwalk.org.
It's rodeo time in Florida. The 32nd annual Ocala Shrine Rodeo returns with the best of man, muscle, and a stampede of horsepower. August 29th and 30th, witness America's number one sport and the greatest show on dirt. Showtime, 7:30 each night at the Southeastern Livestock Pavilion. For rodeo information, call 352-402-8808. August 29th and 30th, don't miss the Ocala Shrine Rodeo.
Listen up. On Monday, July 28th at 11 a.m., our guest on AM Ocala Live will be Edna Turner DiGenesti, owner of Unique Lingerie at Market Street at Heathbrook. This charming lady has been with us before.
And it's always fun and informative. You'll learn about what else? Unique Lingerie, proper fit, special gifts. Who knows? Edna may spill some news about a new line she has developed. Tune in at 11 a.m. on Monday and call in to 622-9622 with your questions or call Edna at 629-5590.
Hey everybody, this is Kelly Hart, your new host of the Ocala Magazine Radio Show. Join me every Friday at 10 a.m. when we bring the pages of Ocala Magazine to life with in-depth interviews from and about your community. So don't miss Marion County's favorite city magazine, Ocala Magazine, every Friday at 10 a.m. right here on 1370 AM and 96.3 FM, WOCA, The Source.
All right, 18 minutes after 11 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in this Wednesday morning. It's let's return now to Brandy Harris and Carrie Bone. They're here from The Refuge, and we are talking about depression, anxiety, the services that The Refuge offers as far as outpatient services, and there's a program called the Transitions Program. So,
correct.
Tell me about that a little bit.
The Refuge Transitions is located on Maricamp Road, also known as Highway 464. And that is between 36th and Baseline. It's down from Forest High School and right next to the International Auto Body, which are kind of key landmarks there. At the Refuge Transitions, we offer a few levels of care, first being our partial hospitalization. And that would be 30 hours a week. That would contain group therapy and individual therapy. And a lot of core trauma work. You kind of hit on a trauma point earlier with the railroad tracks.
And a lot of the things are deep-seated. They go way back.
Core root. Yes.
Even to childhood, right?
Yes.
And do we, as individuals, deny that, or do we know it, or is everybody different in that regard?
I think everybody's different, and sometimes it's a combination. Sometimes people aren't even aware. I hear a lot of clients say, wow, after I got treatment, I just thought this was normal. Maybe everyone experienced this, or I didn't realize how much power this held over me until they were able to take the power back by doing treatment.
Yeah, Carrie, I mean, you were really brave when you were here last time, and you kind of let us know something very personal, right? And
yes.
And I could see it. I'm going to tell you something personal. My sister was had a rough life. She's no longer with us, and she was in her 40s when she died, and she was with alcohol a lot, and I don't know if what drugs, and but late in life, maybe 10 years before she died, she let the family know that she had been raped when she was a child by one of my cousins. And then it all clicked. We're not psychiatrists, but we understood that explains the path that her life took. Somehow, that experience made her believe she was worthless. That's what I think. Yeah. That's my opinion.
No, I think you're correct about that, you know, at least in some ways where we get those messages and those, that's that self-talk, we call it, that plays over and over in our head, those same messages, and it can lead us to not take care of ourselves.
And I wouldn't bring up something so personal if I didn't think it was going to help somebody. And so knowing that you guys, you ladies, can do what you do over at the Refuge, I mean, this would have been life-changing for her had
she gotten some help.
Had she gone over to see you. And maybe there's somebody listening right now that says, oh my goodness, this is too painful to listen to, but they're turning it up because they really want to hear more. And that's that. I mean, that's the life preserver that you're extending to them.
Correct.
Right.
I'll reemphasize this. I mean, we give the individual that safe place to unravel the trauma as you're speaking in the story of your sister. And we then will understand the addiction. And therefore, then we can create the recovery.
Wow.
And that's really the theme of the Refuge.
How life-changing. You must see this all the time, right?
Yes. We see miracles. It's really beautiful. It is. It really makes you just very passionate about what we do, you know?
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah.
These special people. So the number again, because this is important. If this sounds like you or somebody you love, 877-2384. The Refuge is right here in Marion County.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Ocklawaha?
The residential campus is in Ocklawaha. And then the Refuge Transitions, which is our outpatient, is on Maricamp Road.
Oh,
in
that's
Ocala.
Right. You just said it, and I just went in one ear and out the other. You know, because I was processing, what am I going to say about my sister? As you were talking, my brain, I'm sorry, I wasn't 100% there.
I'd like to just finish on the levels of care.
Yes, please.
At the Refuge Transitions. We also have an intensive outpatient. That group would meet 9 hours a week, and that is going to have group and individual therapy as well. At that level of care, we offer three groups a day. So the individual can go morning, noon, or evening, depending on their work schedule or school schedule. We will accommodate the individuals.
Okay.
We then have outpatient therapeutic services. And that may look like individual counseling. That may look like court-ordered substance abuse programs. Individual therapy, I may have said that already. We also have transitional living for individuals. Should they need a safe place to live while they're going through treatment at an outpatient level. So that's in Ocala as well. We actually have a 22-bed transitional living apartment, which is staffed by the Refuge 24/7. We provide life skills, transportation. Basically, we meet all their needs, except they would have to supply their, you know, their groceries and that type of thing. Mm. So we help them. That's part of creating the recovery for them and helping them become responsible again in society or the community.
It helps with accountability. It helps with containment if they're opening up a lot of issues during the week and then they go back there and stay and they're with other peers and they're with staff and it can be a safe environment for them.
When we think of outpatient for the physical, I mean, we think of the emergency room. Mm. The outpatient services you offer sounds like it's more emotional or psychological.
Yes.
Do you ever have people coming in saying, look, I'm thinking about killing myself, I need some help? Do you ever have somebody extreme like that?
Oh, definitely.
Really?
And now that would be, of course, evaluate them and send them for a higher level of care because that would be where they would need to be, inpatient or residential, and there are those levels of care available too. It's just where we're at, they're more stabilized, and we'd want them to be a little more stabilized in order to do outpatient. But of course, if they needed help and they were asking for it, we would get them to the correct place, definitely.
And how do you help the medical professional, like the doctors and the nurses, things like that, when they start to have a substance abuse problem?
Yes, we have. We do assessments for the IPN program for those professionals, and we have a group there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they get involved in that program, and in order to get their licenses back. So we provide groups there for them, and then sometimes they'll join our IOP or PHP groups as well. So we are very accommodating for those individuals.
Oh, wow. So whereas a doctor is exposed to whatever germs we might be carrying, you guys as professionals might also... So you guys need to party more. You need to you need to get away. I mean, I'm sure sometimes it's not contagious in the true sense of that word, but does it affect you?
Well, it definitely makes you aware, and you have to be careful not to overanalyze, I think, yourself and your life. But it definitely brings awareness and insight as well. So
suddenly I see a place for us finally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just some mindless good cheer. Just turn on the radio, listen to dopey stuff for a little bit. Yeah.
Back to the impaired professionals too. We are a Florida impaired professional abuse assessment provider, so we can actually do the assessments.
Oh, wow.
At our residential and our the Refuge Transitions Outpatient Center. So just so our listeners know.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Did you happen to see the story this morning about the guy who was arrested after he was already in jail? He had raped a girl, I guess, years ago in Massachusetts, was let out, and now he was back in jail because he was doing something. And he's 53 or something, and he said to somebody, it was in the paper, that he fights these feelings all the time. He's got this sexual problem. Is that guy helpable, or do we just say to the jail system, you know what, yeah, you guys can have him? I've often wondered about that.
I mean, individuals like that, of course, they need some intense treatment. I mean, something like that would be a specialized program for sex offenders, and those are available. And that's something where it's been going on, and it's been this cycle of his entire life. So that would be something, and it would depend on the individual. I would love to tell you every single one of those people can get help for that, and if they're willing, but
when you hear about sex addicts, we had a sex addict in here one time, and when he told us what he was literally doing, it wasn't sex at all. He was looking at videos, he was looking at magazines. I said to Robin after the show, I mean, I didn't say it on the air to him. Mm-hmm. I said, that guy's not a sex addict. He's a porno addict.
Yeah, right.
But could one lead to, I mean, could he literally take the next? And he was actually on to talk about his recovery. So the good news is he somehow
got some help, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like anything, it could escalate. Yeah, like any, I mean, people sometimes just start with drinking, then it goes to drugs, then it goes to IV use. So anything could escalate.
Wow. And again, all of those things could bring on depression, or depression could send you toward those things.
Exactly.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I'm a recovering alcoholic, so I can speak of that. And, you know, I can remember years ago, too, you know, alcohol is a depressant. So, of course, I'm going to be depressed. I'm ingesting a depressant. Not only
really?
Am I highly allergic to it, it is a depressant. So, yeah, I mean, it's sometimes then for a woman like me, what's driving the horse? Yeah. And until I would become abstinent from alcohol, could I even start to look at, you know, being depressed?
Mm-hmm.
And then I would self-medicate with more alcohol because I'm depressed.
So yours was a domino effect too, right?
Yeah, it just keeps going. So, you know, we provide the treatment at the Refuge so you can stop that cycle and rebuild your life.
And hopefully all the other things we're saying have made a difference so that somebody pays attention. The big important message is you can help.
We can.
That's
help.
The big important message. The name, the Refuge, you couldn't have picked a better name. Okay. All right, so the phone number again, and you need the 352 or no?
Yes,
352-877-2384. I'll say it again, 352-877-2384. The Refuge has outpatient as well as
residential
programs.
Yes.
Call them up if you know somebody or you yourself need some help. And don't live your life. I mean, you mentioned students before. It just breaks my heart that we sometimes get to that point so young.
Oh.
But at the same time, better catch it now than live your whole life like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Ladies, thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It was
Brandy,
a pleasure.
Harris, nice to meet you.
Yes, you
and
too.
And Caribou, nice to see you again.
Nice to see you.
All right, we will take a little break and Fun with Joe coming up in just a little bit. See, Fun with Joe. If you're depressed, listen to Fun with Joe. It may not cure you, but it'll give you a reprieve for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back.